You are listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta. I'm Lois Wrights. It's great to be with you. It seems like there's a podcast for everything now. If you can find it in pop culture or regular culture, it's likely that there are super fans out there gleefully picking it apart. One notable recent example is The West Wing Weekly, which examines the entire series of the television show The West Wing, one episode at a time. So with that format in mind, why not a 14th century Italian poem about hell? The Divined Comedy is a podcast which is devoted to talking about Dante Alighieri's The Inferno, one canto at a time, taking plenty of detours into pop culture along the way. And we have the hosts of this show with us today. Welcome, Paul Cantrell and David Fountain.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Hello, Lois Wrights. How are you?
I am good. I'm really excited to learn more about this. First of all, we should say that if you are looking for a scholarly examination of Dante's work, this may not be for you, or maybe it is. Would you talk about the Divine Comedy?
David, what do you think about this? Because I don't want to, I'm supposed to be the scholarly resident expert, which I'm certainly not, but the setup that we have established is that I'm supposed to be the one guiding David through this book, and David is the one who basically doesn't want to read the book. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think that's pretty fair, though I do enjoy it. I don't want to, I would hate to go on record on the radio saying that I dislike one of the biggest,
it's a big one.
Most influential books of all time. Yeah,
it's sure. A big one. And I have some scholarly bona fides, so I want to take issue with part of that, but I also don't want to harp on my scholarly bona fides because I am basically coming at this from a pop culture angle where we just talk about Ghostbusters and Huey Lewis a lot as well.
Well, tell us about your bona fides.
No, I just went to school for some stuff and got a few degrees in English, and now I'm doing this.
But what about Dante's Inferno made such a burning impression?
Oh, it's a wonderful book. What do you think, David?
Well,
you're pretty new. You're a newcomer to this book.
I think for a poem that is 700 years old, it is. You can find a remarkable amount of modern lessons in it, and it withstands a lot of poking and prodding.
Absolutely, yeah.
But what was your initial exposure to the poem?
I took a course in high school in Baltimore, Maryland. Daniel Christian, amazing Dante teacher, all around. But there was this kind of mythical course that he gave to in the fall semester of senior year. And it was one of these got-to-do-it things. There was limited slots open, but I did that and just fell in love with it. And I've come back to it a couple of different times in my life. And this will be the third time all the way through. And we decided, well, we should probably just do a podcast about it. And it'll give us something to come back to once we go off on these wild tangents.
So if you'll tell us a bit about the tone. We have a clip, but how would you describe the tone?
Irreverent.
I think that's probably the best word for
it. Hey, we're in hell. Why
yeah,
not?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, respectfully irreverent, though, because it is a deeply religious poem, and we're coming at it from more of a secular humanist approach.
Yeah.
I think
that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to the clip.
Oh God. Virgil just shows up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He just out of nowhere
crops up like Cain's wife in the Bible. Just no precedent. How is she even born? There's Adam and Eve, and there's Cain and Abel, and then all of a sudden Cain has a wife. Just crops up like a mushroom. We're getting into Genesis.
And we talked about Peter Gabriel earlier.
A lot of people don't realize Peter Gabriel was in Genesis.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean,
and he's totally respected now.
Yeah, I mean, they were certainly more successful commercially with Big Dog Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, yeah. When Phil Collins quit music, do you think that remember we talked about this years ago? He had that big statement. You remember?
Yeah, he was like, "You won't have Phil Collins to kick around anymore," basically.
Yeah, and it was like, "I would listen. I get it."
Okay. So
oh my.
Peter Gabriel was God's angel.
Yes, exactly, exactly. He was the Annunciation. That was Peter Gabriel. Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that.
Whispering. Yeah.
This is why we should listen to podcasts more.
this is the reason. You and me.
Yeah.
Oh, what an onus! The sheer onus of that.
Well, Christian DuPont of the Dante Society of America apparently called your show the Car Talk of Dante. Have you gotten other unexpected feedback?
That was a big one. The Dante Society of America, to be on their radar is pretty wild. And he called us, I think, the Click and Clack, which I originally read as the Frick and Frack, and thought, oh, man. But yeah, Car Talk, to be compared to Car, to be even in the same cognitive breath as Car Talk is a wonderful comparison, yeah, and we invite that.
We love public radio references.
I would imagine so,
we'll,
yes.
We'll have to make some more of those, I think.
Yeah. What do you got?
Oh, I meant on the podcast,
okay, yeah,
not
yeah,
on
yeah.
here.
Not now,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Put me on the spot.
Paul, you've got how many copies of the Divine
Comedy? Oh, this makes it, David made it sound like I have this obsessive thing. Was it like Mel Gibson in that movie where he just obsessively buys The Catcher in the Rye anytime he's in a bookstore? It's not like that.
I've suppressed all Mel Gibson.
Oh, it's I don't blame you. We talk at length about Mel Gibson and his, just the general craziness surrounding that man. But I have the Everyman edition, which is signed by Alan Mandelbaum, because the translator I ended up having kind of a friendship with in my mid-20s. And he was a mentor of mine. I used to go visit him in Winston-Salem. It was great. And when I met him, it was on March 3rd, 2003. Three is a huge Dante number because of the Trinity. So 333. And I pointed this out to him, and he went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay.
It was just total. I was so stoked.
We have just entered not a circle of hell, but an epicenter of nerddom. Like,
it's
I don't think
nerdy.
I've ever
yeah.
met on this
It's a little
show.
Nerdy. He signed it Alan and then Mandelbaum in parentheses. Like, we're on a first name basis. It was such a thrill. And then, I got to be friends with him for a few years after that. It was great.
I think it's Paul's job to nerd out about the book and my job to sort of point out that he is nerding out about it and question whether or not other people want to hear that.
I think that what I realized this the other day, someone kind of pointed this out to me the other day, is that there's this constant hot potato game of who is really the straight man.
Yeah, sure.
You would think that I'm the guy pitching the book, so I'm going to be the nerdy straight guy, the straight man, and then you're going to be the one kind of yucking it up. But I feel like I'm also just trying to win you over with this book so much that I end up, it's just a constant struggle.
You mentioned, for something 700 years old, it holds up pretty well. This is the definition of a classic. And yet, it is white, male, European classic. What are the universal themes and meanings? What can anyone gain from better knowing the Divine Comedy?
It is universal, and I'm going to field this one.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't want to jump. I don't want to step on your line here, but it is universal in the literal sense. I tried to think about what this poem means to me for a while. It took me about 5 episodes to figure it out, and then we had to drop it back into the first episode. But it is. It's a poem about how you live your life. It's a poem about the meaning of suffering. It's a poem about the meaning of love. I mean, this is inspired by Dante's burning love for Beatrice, whom he didn't get to marry and who died before any of this happened. And he places her in the Empyrean, creates this narrative where he has her in heaven send for his hero in hell, Virgil, who then gets him out of the dark wood in his life where he's just not doing well at all, and then brings him through hell and purgatory. He creates a summons for himself, essentially, because of this unrequited love, this love that was never able to be actualized. Meanwhile, he's married to someone else completely, who you don't hear about in the poem really whatsoever.
How did she feel?
I really wonder about that.
There's a book I think that deals a little bit with it. I need to order it and read it before we finish doing this podcast, probably. But I should really have boned up beforehand.
Stop
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's this constant scramble of, oh, there's this other thing. I should really, get that under my belt before we record the next episode, because people are counting on me to. Well, they're not counting on me. We're just going to talk about Phil Collins more probably. But no, does that answer your question as far as?
Yes. This is the meaning.
It's a lot of responsibility
universal.
And it is a white male European thing, and it's a funny thing in the poem where anytime Dante shows up, the first thing out of his mouth is, "Hey, where are the Italians?" Because there's a linguistic issue, but he wants to meet the local people. He wants to say, "Oh, I remember you in life, and now you're down here." He doesn't want to talk to Dido or, you know, Cleopatra. He wants to talk to Francesca.
Forget
you know?
The gods.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget the
gods. He wants
gods.
To talk to,
forget
he's a local guy. Yeah, he's locally sourced tragedy. Yeah. He, farm to table.
He likes to talk to, he likes to find his, the parents of his friends and his enemies and people
oh, yeah.
he doesn't like who he's just never met. It's really...
There's a lot of wish fulfillment here.
Yeah.
And sometimes people that are still alive, he puts them in hell and argues that they're still on Earth, but they're being operated by a demon and their soul is actually already in the inferno.
That must be so empowering.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. He's got so much power in this thing, but it's also because he's in his life, he's completely powerless because he's been exiled at this point. He's basically couch surfing around Italy writing this poem. So yeah, he's going to put some friends in hell for sure. His life is completely destroyed by Pope Boniface.
I'm wondering if the Divine Comedy can bring so much to popular culture and raise awareness. What's next? Is there hope for Beowulf?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I would love to do something like that.
We're signed up. I mean, this is a poem that a lot of people have heard of, but not many people have read. And the running joke, I guess, if you can call it that, is that if they've read any of it, they've only read Hell. And they're like, good, done, check, please. But Purgatorio, I mean, it ends in heaven. It's so beautiful.
Ah, so here is the goal. Where are you going and how many episodes
it's
will
100,
it take?
There are 100 cantos. So we're locked in, loaded for 100 episodes. So the thought of doing anything after
this. I think we released episode 13 today.
Today, yeah.
So
episode 13's
only
out.
87 more to go.
So, oh, when you say it like that,
know,
it just sounds...
I know.
But the thing is going to be, it's funny because you think that hell would be the hard sell, but it's going to be, we're going to have to really up our game to keep listeners through the other parts that people aren't as familiar with. Because Purgatorio sounds kind of alien and foreign, but our goal is really to get people into this poem that wouldn't necessarily get into it otherwise. And if our silly 80s and 90s references are the candy that helps the medicine go down, or what was that? That's not even a good metaphor.
Spoonful of sugar.
Oh, sure, yeah. Why do I even talk about this stuff? But yeah,
because you eat kale. Like that.
No, but we're trying to get people into this book. Bottom line, and we're trying to have a little fun along the way.
Well, it sounds like it's a lot of fun. Paul Cantrell and David Fountain are hosts of the Divine Comedy podcast. You can find their show on iTunes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You so
Lois.
Much, Lois.
Great to be here.